Deuteronomy chapter 13. Follow up from our study this morning in Zechariah 13. Regarding the end of false prophets. All the prophets run out of the land. All that unclean spirit will be removed that drives the false prophets. The false doctrine, the false teaching, the desire for it, the love of it, all of that gone one day. And we're not in that day now, but we look toward that day with encouragement, and we, of course, were told in our own day to contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Verse Deuteronomy 13, verse 1. If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass, of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him, and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and hold fast to him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken in order to turn you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of bondage, to entice you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall put away the evil from your midst. Let's pray. Well, we know from your word that it is a serious thing. Even though our world sees it as an insignificant non-issue, that it is a serious thing to teach lies in your name, to take others to other gods, from you to other gods, to proclaim a God that is not truly God, and laws that are not absolute moral laws from you. And Lord, we know how many people, just in general, we can see in the world today who have a great deception placed upon them, who live their lives day after day in service to an idol that does not exist. And I pray, Lord, that we would be strong in the word, strong in the truth, firm in our beliefs and our understanding of your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Yesterday in our yard, I'm not sure what happened, but we had a robin convention in our yard. A bunch of them came in. And they were in the front and the back. I went out to get the mail, and I just stirred up a number of them there. And I don't mind robins. Used to watch them at my grandmother's house up there and in our yard because I was told they would find a worm just from listening. How much of all that's true, I don't know how they find them, but they go, and then they move, and then they stick their beak in the ground, and they come up with something. So kind of fascinating. Now, I don't mind as many. I mean, I wouldn't want 2 million or something in the yard. But I don't mind that. We also had, I think it was yesterday, a palmetto bug. Wherever palmetto bugs go when they die, that's where this one is. The robins can be there. But the palmetto bug got the right arm down on it. I had a paper towel too. But if we ask ourselves the question, in our homes, we probably know that there are bugs we don't see. How many bugs, how many cockroaches, how many palmetto bugs, millipedes, centipedes? Huh? How many of those would you want in your house? I mean, would you say when you buy the house, you know, we'd like at least a dozen cockroaches in this house? at all times. Could we have that? And when the pest people come out to kill, and you ask them, how many are you going to kill? All of them? Well, the guy will say, every last one of them. Well, we don't want that. We'd like to leave a few for pets or something. No, you want them all gone. Well, consider a much worse thing. A false teaching. A false doctrine. In India, they have lizards, these white lizards that go around on the ceiling and all. They move around, and you might wake up and look up, and there's one staring at you. How many of those would you like in your house? I don't care much for that either. How'd you like to be sleeping in your bed and something be crawling up your leg? You look at, there's the white lizard down there. So how many? I want them all out, you say. Every one of them. So we're told here in the instructions to Israel, the law of Moses. And, of course, this is Israel as a nation. They were a theocracy. It was different than today. You can't and you won't find a law to kill false prophets. And we really don't want that, although they should be ostracized and ignored and marked and not listened to. But in that day, there was a theocracy. And here's what the Lord says should happen to them. And know that it begins by a successful prophecy. If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass. It's assumed that if someone makes a prophecy or dreams a dream, and tells you the future from the dream or the prophecy or the crystal ball or any other, you know, implements of soothsaying, prediction. Well, then, and it comes to pass, we're supposed to say, oh, obviously, clearly, this person is of God, and therefore you follow them wherever. Miracles have a place in the Bible and a few places where it confirms that the doctrine being taught is from God. It confirms from godly men and God's declaration himself that thus says the Lord. It started there, we saw it on the mount. Moses got the Pentateuch here, and we have revelation of the Spirit. The Bible says the Spirit inspires men to write the Scriptures, and then in the New Testament, the apostles did miracles, and Jesus did miracles to show that they had the power of God to say the things that they were saying. But they were all consistent with the Scriptures. Jesus said, search the Scriptures. You search the Scriptures. He gave prophecies of himself and applied them to himself in the New Testament. But it is possible that revealed truth can be contradicted by a miracle, by a prophecy. And this is what is spoken of here. That it's amazing. I dreamed this, and it happened. Wow, what would God have us do then? And then the person says, we need to go after another God. That's the point they were making. Let us go after gods, other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them. This is a sign, they said. Here's an indication for us in Israel that this other God that I represent is the God we should follow. If this particular thing was followed every time someone stood up and said, God has spoken to me, and here's what we have to do, and it took us away from God, there would not be any false religions. If we understood what God had said and we compared that to what some dreamer of dreams says or a prophet, then we would reject it. Test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. And you hear a prophet, and he might be charismatic. I'm not talking about just charismatic, you know, miracle thing. But he's He's personable. He's got a good personality. He's he has an air of authority around him. And so you go right down that way and follow him. And then people don't look at the scriptures and they say, well, this is not right. The Mormons didn't do that. When Joseph Smith claimed to write that Book of Mormon and bring it to the people, and you know what he said? That he got visited by an angel. Several versions. But he got visited by an angel, Gabriel, or somebody else, and Jesus appeared to him. It was the same time, but he changed the name of who appeared to him. Well, and it said the message from the person that showed up to Joseph Smith was, all of the religions of the day are false. Therefore, here's what you're supposed to do. And Mormonism is from that. Now, if Joseph Smith would have been a man of character and he'd known anything about Deuteronomy 13, no matter what the so-called personage said, he didn't dream anything, didn't wake up to anything, and didn't see anything. But he said he did. So, if it really happened, he would have questioned that as to whether it was from God. And finding it not to be from God, because it just said every religion that's ever been from this time before is false. That right there, you don't have to be too sharp to know that here's someone who is contradicting biblical revelation. Leave it. Instead, you have millions of people bound in the lies of Mormonism today. They believe that the multiple wives thing is that you have more children so that spirit children could be freed from another planet and join with the child on earth and start their way to godhood, to become progressively into God. So this was Joseph Smith's scam to get like 10 or 15 wives. And he put a spin on it to make it something God commanded. And again, the Lord is very much on the record in Scripture to be angry when someone says to do something he detests. And they did. Brigham Young took it up after Joseph Smith. Joseph Smith was in jail, I think, in Missouri, and the husbands of a lot of these wives who he had wooed away decided to send him to heaven early. So he was out of the picture. And, of course, heaven wasn't where he went. And then Brigham Young took over. But you see, right away, that's not of God. And when Muhammad stood up there and said, you know, I'm the best prophet. I'm the latest prophet. I'm the one that's the highest up. It contradicts Scripture right there. Jesus is, according to Hebrews, in the end, his son, the Son of God. Muhammad's not that. So people should have said, no, wait a minute, Muhammad. You let your grape juice sit out too long. You're a little bit tipsy. That's not true. The Bible says this. So if you went back to the Bible every time and you examined it every time, well, you wouldn't have now billions of people in the world who are misled and deceived and even a victim of Islam. And you could go on and on. You nip this in the bud. And it's not just like, oh, that's so sweet. You came up with a dream. That is so sweet. Let's have a movie about it. No, they don't have any entertainment of it here. Because he says, even though it came to pass, let us go after other gods you have not known and let us serve them. Let's take that as a sign. The Lord says, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. But Lord, he knew what was going to happen in the future. This is the way a lot of scam artists catch people. They make a prediction, and it comes true in some way. Sometimes they have to kind of twist and turn it a little bit to make it come true. Joseph Smith made a prediction about Mormonism and and how certain things would happen within his generation, and that didn't come true. And you can, if you speak in the name of the Lord and someone who speaks that way says this will come to pass and it doesn't, then that's a test that they're false. But even here, when it comes true, if the message is against the Lord's word, it's false. When somebody came up and the first prospective TV preacher came up and said, I think if we plant a seed of faith with God and we believe God with that seed of faith, that God will blossom that seed of faith 30, 50, 100 fold. And I just happen to be the one who will receive the seed of faith or rocks. And you give it to me, you want to give $200? $200 to turn into $20,000. And on and on. So that scam, if someone would have looked in the scriptures and said, no, wait a minute. That's not what the Bible says. Well, we might have a whole different lineup of religious broadcasting on TV. If somebody would just stand up and say, no, that's not what the Bible says. Well, the Lord here says, don't listen to them. And as far as the prediction coming true, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. The Lord is testing you. He is not hindering the efforts of the false prophet. He is letting it come to pass. He is using the prophet who is already rebellious against the Lord and trying to deceive people. He's letting it go through. He's going to see how you respond. That's what he says here. To see whether you are really going to walk with me. Verse 4, you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and hold fast to him. Now, they never did that as a nation. That's what makes Zechariah such an optimistic, blessed book to us, because we see that one day all the resistance that Israel's had against the Lord will go away and they will be saved. But Israel is an example of unbelief in our day. Israel has not believed. Even in Romans, Paul talks about how they are not believers. They continue to be enemies of the gospel in that day. Although individuals, of course, were being saved from the nation of Israel. But the standard is laid down there for every person. That standard never changed. The standard from the Garden of Eden was that they would obey the Lord perfectly, and they did not. The fall came, and we were born after. Every person is born in sin. Every person is born with a sin nature and total depravity. So we can't do the things God commands, but they're still the same laws. And so that prophet prophesied a falsehood. What do you do with him in a theocracy? Verse 5. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken in order to turn you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of bondage, to entice you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So shall you put away the evil from your midst. Today he would be a top teacher of religion at a prestigious university. He would have books. He might have a TV show on PTL Network, if that's still around. And there would be people talking about him. He might be, have a name that's well known. Because we're not, we're not in the same age. You can't kill false prophets. It'd take a long time. And, but you know, the Lord is being merciful these days. But the anger is still there. People are storing up, wrath for the day of wrath. But they're not to be allowed to be alive. And imagine if all the people sending money to Oral Roberts when it first started. You're not just getting Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts on TV. The Lord is testing the people at home. Send me $200 and God will bless you with abundance of money, he said. That every person sent money in had to watch for a solid week professional wrestling on TV. Or a soap opera. Or, I was going to say a cooking show, but some people like those, don't they? One of these late night, if you're ever up and you're sick and you turn on the TV and this late night show comes on and 3 o'clock in the morning somebody comes on and it's some show and it's really bad. But they figure you're asleep anyway. Something happened. People, oh no, no. I'm not going to ever send money to him again. Well, that would be a decent thing for them. They'd be freed from that. Well, our text this morning talked about a son doing that. And it's similar to what we have now in the next few verses. Verse 6, if your brother, the son of your mother, your son or your daughter, the wife of your bosom, or your friend who is your own as your own soul, secretly entices you, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which you have not known, neither you nor your fathers. Notice how it's set there, like it was this morning in Zechariah. Here is someone you absolutely love, who is your blood, is a wife, is a friend, someone very close, and they suggest that you go after other gods. Verse 7, of the gods of the people which are all around you, near to you or far off from you, from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth, you shall not consent to him or listen to him, nor shall your eye pity him, nor shall you spare him or conceal him. This is extremely serious. The stakes are very high. For one, this is God who is being offended. God is offended and angered by falsehood. False doctrine falls into that area. And the Lord does not want in his name to have things said that he does not agree with, that is not from him. Although almost every heresy comes from people who claim to be speaking for God. The second problem with it, of course, is that it infects and spreads and destroys people. Sometimes a false doctrine will be followed, and children end up being sacrificed or injured or hurt or led down a way that leads to a lot of damage to them, because the devil loves destruction and lies. Society becomes affected. In our own society, we've had the blessing in our past of men who were of the Judeo-Christian ethic. They weren't all Christians, but they viewed truth from that perspective, from the Bible. And so the laws we have and the lifestyle we've had was founded in that. Well, in our day, we're farthest from that probably than we've ever been. And the result is what we see. People don't even know what gender they are anymore. Don't know where to go to the bathroom. I mean, our minds are completely... So on and on, we see the destructiveness of false doctrine. This is a relationship. This would be the same of our children. If someone came to our children and said, we'd like for you to take drugs. I'll give you a deal. We'd get all upset. And drugs is an awful thing, these illegal drugs and recreational drugs. And we get all upset. But it's nothing like false doctrine. I mean, it's physically a matter. False doctrine doesn't make you, you know, drive crazy, drunk, and high. But we're talking about eternity here. Our child's eternal destiny that is affected by lies. So you don't spare him. Oh, he's my friend. Huh? And part of this is not just that it's a regulation or a statute. What we see in Zechariah is different than what we see here in Deuteronomy. Here's the letter of the law. Don't spare him, don't conceal him. In Zechariah, there was a zeal to do that. It was like you didn't have to tell people. You have to say, do this. They wanted to do it because they were so offended by the fact that someone would present a prophecy that was not from God. The drive then was from the heart, from a redeemed heart, or from a heart that feared the Lord. Here, it's a regulation, a statute that they were to do. They weren't to have a heart for the people who tried to lead them away. It says, verse 9, but you shall surely kill him. Your hand shall be first against him to put him to death, and afterward the hand of all the people. The person who had it, who was enticed, they would take the first blow. This morning it was the parents would say, and you don't deserve to live. And they would start the process. You don't have a capital punishment for anything other than a very serious offense. That the entire nation would be led astray. The northern kingdom of Israel was constantly led astray. And when it first began, they set up altars in Dan and Bethel so the people didn't go to Jerusalem and didn't have their hearts pulled to Jerusalem. And so they had these places of false worship. And through Israel's history, to a point, they were following a bunch of idols. And that's where it begins. It spreads, and it gets bad. When you're out in the yard, you see a nice strand of poison ivy. How many seconds do you think would be safe to roll around in? Go up to the tree. We got some runs up a tree. I don't think nuclear war would take it out. It runs up a tree. Whenever I go out, you know, I'm not as bad as I used to be, but like from here to the back of the church, if I saw a poison ivy, I got it. I'd have to be in the same zip code almost. But I don't want to touch it. I don't want to go out with a lawnmower and cut a bunch of poison ivy and breathe it all in and get it inside. What do you do then? Drink calamine lotion? We're careful about that. We go to the hospital, people, you stop, get that stuff on your hands and try to stay away from germs. It spreads. And so here we have these, you're not supposed to even start with it. Verse 10, you shall stone him with stones until he dies, because he sought to entice you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So all Israel shall hear and fear and not again do such wickedness as this among you. When an offense is judged quickly, then people fear. When it is not, people feel like they have leeway to do whatever it is that is forbidden. You can get in trouble today for things that are slight, and some person do something that's terrible and not get very much more or even get less punishment. It's all messed up. But in that day, they were to be firm about this. You preach false doctrine, we're going to have a stoning party and stone him till he dies. Oh, that's brutal. That's uncivilized. What's uncivilized is God in heaven, the reality that God is in heaven and that he watches over the affairs of men and that we have souls that will live forever in heaven or hell. What is uncivilized is to treat that dynamic as unimportant. We can do anything we want, we can believe anything we want, and end up with people hearing false teaching about God and dying in their sins. And they're told, of course, it'll be okay. That's the greatest part of the scam. The Muslim terrorists who mow down people have been told, as soon as they get finished mowing all these people down and finally get picked off by some guy with a gun, and they go straight to paradise and have all these women after them. And how many interviews of these Muslims have you heard after the fact, after they got killed? Catholic Church has had that scam for a long time. Go to purgatory. You can go to purgatory and work it off. You don't have to worry about eternal destruction. You go to purgatory, get it straight, have some masses here for the dead, and get out sooner. But once you die, that's it. And you're not going to be doing any CNN interviews. And you don't see what happens to them once they go. You don't see what happened to them when they hit the buildings in New York, thinking they were going to a good place. It's very uncivilized and unintellectual and foolish to live your life without reckoning the presence and the power and the judgment of a holy God. And this is what true doctrine prepares us for. And it is what false doctrine does not. False doctrine deceives us into thinking that we're okay. Nothing. You talk to a lot of people, they'll say, no, I'm not real sure, but I think I'll be okay. I'm better than that guy over there. They're pretty sure. You know what I mean? When you talk about eternity, you better not just be pretty sure. You know, put the Hubble Space Telescope up there. They never could use it right when it went up because, we forgot to check something while it was on the ground. Well, now it's in space. What are you going to do? Take an Uber? I mean, it's in space now. The time to fix it would have been right there when it was on the ground. Well, we didn't line up that mirror like we should have. It took a spacewalk from a space shuttle to fix the thing. So you got your first pictures that weren't blurry. You're helped if you get it right at that point. Once we leave this world, there's no more afterlife where you can work it off. And the false prophet would have a person believe that they're going to be okay, even when they leave this world. I think I've told you that Brother Barry Pruitt had an argument in a Wendy's or somewhere with a Mormon. And Mormons think, you know, there's like several levels of afterlife. Some's really good, some's pretty good, some's basically good. And most people go to one of those places. But the Bible says you don't believe in Jesus, you go to hell. And so Barry pointed out, says, well, you know, I believe in Jesus, and so I'll at least be pretty good. But if what I'm saying is true, you're going to bust hell wide open. And that's the truth. Now you can say, well, that's not loving. No, it's very loving. Because to say otherwise is to teach false doctrine and to deceive people. And the Lord has shown us in his word. He wants us to be in the truth. Let's all stand. David, would